Hey guys, welcome to another episode. Welcome. So, if you read the title, we've got some alien stuff again. So, there's a little resurgence from Joe Rogan and also from the New York Times that had some articles. Mm-hmm. We don't get too much in the New York Times article or Joe Rogan even, but we kind of give some hard opinions and stances of where we at are on some of the UFO content we've been exploring, like Bob Lazar and Salvatore Pice.
Prominent figures.
Yeah, so we give our takes on those as a kind of check to show you where we're at mentally on those guys. And then we also get into some of the things that Juan
some found. Other military incidents that were reported on top of like the more famous one that the New York Times kind of highlighted, which was the Nimitz incident in 2004. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just talking a little bit more about those cases, and then
so cool guys, make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe. Also make sure you check out our website eigenbros.com, check out the Twitter eigenbros, check out the Instagram eigenbros, and then check out the TikTok eigenbros too. And we'll see you guys in a bit.
Are you ready? 3, 2, 1.
Yo.
Welcome to another episode of Eigenbros, everybody. Mm-hmm. Today we have the Rockstar Energy. Well, not sponsored by Rockstar Energy. This is sponsored by, unofficially, by Monster.
Don't say that. Don't give them any money.
No,
money for anybody.
I was
going to
say,
sponsored.
We're already going to call it 1,000 subscribers.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, motherfucker. Like, get to Rockstar Energy. All right.
Yeah, so, thank you guys. We finally got to that 1,000 mark. Technically, not because at this time we lost a subscriber. We're actually at 999, but I'm sure when this video comes out, it should be back at 1,000. So.
Yeah. Hopefully, we don't regress back, but we'll go back to 1,000.
Just don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. So, thank you to everybody who's been with us on this journey for the past. I think we took it seriously the past year, cool. Today we're going to give something that all the people love and want.
Except for YouTube.
Except for YouTube, except for Google, who is vehemently anti-conspiracy stuff.
Right.
But this is...
So this probably won't even show up in your recommended feed.
No.
Even if you're a subscriber, so the only people who are probably going to find this are the ones who stumble upon it on either, you know, Discord or Reddit or wherever I post it, Twitter.
So, but hey, you know, this is the realm that we'll be digging into, not necessarily conspiracy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's official government kind of detailed stuff.
Yeah. We don't really mess around with stuff unless there's some kind of credibility to it, or at least if it's interesting enough to where we can take it somewhat seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Even if we kind of are, you know, joking a bit.
You know, always.
We're not the most rigorous YouTube physics YouTube channel, but.
No, we're always tongue-in-cheek. This is always like a discussion, dialogue kind of thing, so.
But we'll try not, we're not meant here to waste your time on things that are just bunk.
Yeah, we try not to. So. Yeah.
And actually kind of, Juan, I don't know if you would mind, man, I kind of want to get it out of the way because, you know, we have done several podcasts on aliens and UFOs already. The first of which was on Bob Lazar, I believe, or maybe not the first, but the second, I think.
Sure.
And that was probably our biggest, I think it's still our biggest video on the channel. The one right after the Joe Rogan podcast. But I wanted to just settle the score here real quick with our final takes on Bob.
Yeah.
Bobby
Lazar.
So there's a great video out there with Stan Friedman. We've referenced it on a few other podcasts that talk about basically Bob Lazar. And at this point, I just want to make it known that Bob Lazar for the Eigenbros is pretty much bunk.
Stamp of approval.
Yeah. He's pretty much, we're gonna not really waste much time with him anymore. He's got a semi-believable UFO story, but there just are some things that are kind of undeniable about him that show that he's definitely has some kind of,
he doesn't have his story straight.
Yeah. Well, he has instances of known lying now.
Yeah.
Like, he's lying for a particular reason, and it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with his safety or whatever reason he tries to bullshit with.
Don't blame him, Terrence. He's just got serious migraines all the time. He's just forgetting stuff.
I know. It's been a hard journey for Bob.
Yeah.
But I'm going to play this video here's a little video with Stan Friedman that we talked about.
Yeah, sure.
You're familiar with it, one, and I just finally found it, so I wanted to show you, because it's not easy to find on YouTube for some reason.
For the record, Stan Friedman's a nuclear physicist, I believe.
A legit nuclear physicist, yeah. Exactly. He got into the ufology side of things, kind of like us in some sense.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, he's a ufologist by accident, I guess, because he was the guy who was exploring the Roswell incident.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually don't know much about the Roswell incident. We should look into that a little bit.
Yeah, it's just it's got a lot of he say she say kind of thing.
Yeah,
There's nothing really declassified. There are better declassified incidents that I think point to more interesting things.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I always got the impression that Roswell was kind of this goofy, like, this was the start of when people start to really get ham into UFOs. But then it's kind of one of these things that's kind of not as taken seriously anymore these days. But it spawned a whole movement of. Yeah. Shit, you know, like, you know, like, just even like everywhere. Yeah. It was everywhere.
Men in Black. We wouldn't have had Men in Black if it wasn't for Roswell.
Megadeth, Hangar 18, you know, like that whole thing was Roswell inspired. Like all these things were just inspired by Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, let me go ahead and play the Stan Friedman basically poning of Bob Lazar.
With facts and logic.
Here
we go.
Fraud is a special problem with regard to UFOs. In the early days, it was mostly people who were trying to outdo each other in their stories of being contactees. They met with aliens. They were taken on trips to the backside of the moon by aliens. And the next guy would say, well, I went to Jupiter, and so forth. And this was a limited subgroup of people, the contactees, as they were called. They had their own subculture. One of the people involved with that movement, Gabriel Green, died in 2001. He even ran for president on a ticket as a UFO contactee. The problem's gotten much more invidious since then, though. We have people ostensibly with credentials who are frauds and who have glommed onto pop culture. Two that come to mind. Robert Scott Lazar, supposedly a nuclear physicist with a master's in physics from MIT, a master in electronics from Caltech, who supposedly worked at Area 51, back engineering flying saucers, figured out how they work using element 115. It's a long, detailed story. You can buy the video someplace else, not for me. I did a lot of checking on Bob. I tried to meet with him twice. I was supposed to on one occasion, and he didn't go along. I checked at MIT. I checked at Caltech. Neither one ever heard of him. Well, but the government wiped his records clean is the response. I talked to the legal counsel at MIT. No way to do that. I talked with the guy who has the degrees, the commencement lists and all that sort of thing. No mention of Lazar. None of the yearbooks show Lazar.
Dang. By the way, Stan Friedman's already just going in on him.
That's what I'm saying. It's basically a systematic destroying of Bob Lazar.
Yeah.
And I've verified all these things as well. Like, I actually did the research to look and see if what he's saying is true. Yeah. And I literally found much of the same stuff.
Corroborating his stuff.
Yeah.
And I mean, even then, like, he was just saying, by the way, I just want to comment on this real quick, but the element 115 stuff, so specific. Now, I'm questioning now, like, why, how do you know it's 115?
Well, he just said 115 because you remember back in the days, it's been theorized forever that there's an island of stability in the higher heavy elements.
But I'm saying for him to pimp land on that element.
Well, I think because it wasn't discovered back then during the 80s.
Yeah, but to him to know that seems so ridiculous.
Well, not really, because we already talked about this before.
No. I'm saying for him to guess that, like, for him to almost conveniently say element 115.
Well, what do you mean?
It's like element 115, that's that specific element. Like, how do you know it's that specific element?
Why is that unusual though? Because he said that they studied it. What Bob was claiming was that he said that
they were studying it.
They had it. So you can figure out elements. What do you
mean? Yeah, you can, but I'm saying, like, it just seems so ridiculous to me that this element that's like short-sighted of Bob to really come up with this, because we're going to get to element 115 and it's not going to be anything I don't think it's going to be anything as grandiose.
Well, maybe it was a little bit of a claim, but for him, I think he was well safe in the 80s because they were already like a few elements away from even discovering that, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
but I think in his mind he thought, oh, this is going to be huge once we, like, once we get to it, then that means like...
Like
he picked 115 because it's far enough away.
Yeah,
I imagine where he's like, oh, this might be attainable. This might not be.
Yeah,
within my lifetime.
Yeah, but then, like, and maybe he didn't even realize that this thing would get so huge and last for so long.
Yeah,
you know, who would have guessed that Bob Lazar would still be talking about this 20-30 years later? Yeah. Right.
That's probably what gives him a headache too.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I'm still trapped in this nightmare
stupid story. Yeah. Now my credentials.
My life is a whole lie now.
Well, too bad.
That's what Bob just needs to come out with it and just say I was lying. Yeah. Make your life easier, bro.
Yeah, seriously. Who cares?
You need it for a master's thesis. Well, for a master's degree, you need a thesis. I talked to the guy who holds those, no Lazar item there. He was asked publicly, when did you get your master's from MIT? Well, let me see now. I think it was, probably 1982. I have friends who went to MIT. I was accepted there myself, couldn't afford to go out of high school. And nobody who gets a master's degree in physics from MIT doesn't know what year he got it in. He was asked to name some of his professors. Well, let's see now. He named somebody, Bill somebody, I won't use his name on the air. I checked on him. It was not a common name, fortunately. He was a physicist. The only trouble is, Bob said he would remember him from Caltech. This individual, Bill, never taught at Caltech. He only taught at Pierce Junior College. Now, Bob himself had mentioned Pierce to me on the phone. He did go there. Now, that's in Southern California, and he was going there at the same time that he was supposedly attending MIT, 2,500 miles east of there. One heck of a commute. If you can go to MIT, you don't go to Pierce Junior College. But beyond that, I checked with his high school. He finished in the bottom third of his high school class. You can't get into MIT if you're outside. Usually the top 10, 15, 20% of your class. Bottom third, never. His element 115 scheme won't work. Sounds good, science fiction. So, I checked with Los Alamos. He is in the phone book there. Doesn't that prove that he was a scientist working there? No, it certainly doesn't prove he was a scientist, but if you look at the phone book page, up at the very top it says, this phone book for employees of the Los Alamos National Laboratory, the Department of Energy, Kirk Meyer Corporation, several other companies. Right after Bob's name, and it was only in one phone book issue, they issue them every several months, it says K/M, that's Kirk Meyer, a subcontractor. He worked out at the Maison facility. Don't need a clearance for that. People come in from all over the world, physicists, to do experiments, and he was a technician working out there. And the story goes on beyond that. And I get people telling me, well, I don't see why you don't believe him. He seems so sincere. Sincerity is not a check on truth.
Damn, Bob. So Bob just got wrecked. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Destroyed.
Yeah.
And I can pretty much corroborate some of that stuff. I looked up William Duxler was the guy that Stanton didn't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And he literally taught at Pierce Junior College. He is a Ray My professor and everything. I looked up... what else did I look up with him? I looked up online some things that Stanton didn't mention. I looked up online through scholar.google.com. Juan familiar, and I know other physicists and science people will be familiar, as this is like a place you can check to see publications and whatnot.
Yes.
Theses, publications, whatnot. I couldn't find any kind of publications for Bob Lazar or William Duxler or one of the other guys that Bob mentions at a time was professor was a guy named Hosenfield. Couldn't find any theses, master's theses for Bob. So I mean, pretty much these are giant gaping holes that just don't make sense for anybody who claims with those credentials.
Yeah.
And it shows that Bob has some kind of malicious or lying intent.
Yeah.
And I guess you could also say, like, how do you know this, though? But another thing is, I actually have video of Bob claiming who his instructors are. And This one, I don't know if I could. We might just have to watch this one on the phone, one, because I don't know how to do a cast
sure.
through Twitter. But we'll put the video on the podcast. So this is the video of Bob basically talking about who his professors were. Go ahead and
Could you reveal some of your professors at MIT and Caltech?
Yeah, if you want. I don't have a list of them here. Dr. Duxler, I think, was one of them, and Hosfield was another.
Hosfield.
H-O-H-S-F-I-E-L-D or something along those lines.
They remember you?
Oh yeah, Hosfield I knew well.
These were at MIT or Caltech?
Hosfield was at MIT. Duxler was at Caltech.
Yeah, that telltale pause of him being like, which school am I going to choose here?
Yeah. And also, do you have a list of professors? I guess I could tell them if you want.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a hard thing to say.
And no.
Now that just shows that Bob truly has some kind of ulterior motive, whatever it may be. I don't know what it would be, but it just shows you that just because someone sounds sincere, as Stanton Friedman said, does not have anything to do with if they're what they're saying is correct or true.
So
Bob is pretty much bunk. So shut the door on Bob. Joe Rogan keeps bringing up Bob. He's done.
True.
He just recently had a podcast also with George Knapp, who's the guy who basically broke the story on Bob Lazar. It was one of those ones that was suppressed by YouTube. A lot of people didn't even know it was on. But George Knapp was the guy who basically broke the story on Bob. He still believes Bob. I don't know how, because he basically did the same investigations and saw the phone book even, where it says KP that stands for, KM that stands for Kirk Meyer, which is clearly who Bob's work for.
Yeah.
You can even see Bob's W-2 forms, and they have a W-2 of him where he makes less than $1,000 during the time he worked there, which is like 1 week's salary for, or not even maybe 1 week, maybe not even a week's salary for a physicist or a scientist there, right?
Yeah.
And he has one W-2 from Kirk from Los Angeles.
Working as a contractor for Los
Angeles. Yeah, for Los Alamos National Lab. Clearly a contractor W-2, right? So just the list goes on and on, right? This is the kind of thing that's like, if you don't do your due diligence, it's just like you have no grounds to stand on for what you're thinking is true or not. So Bob's story... Yeah. His story is compelling, yes, and interesting, but he doesn't pass any of the basic checks when you start to go a little bit deeper. So there it is. Bob's done. Open story. I think we're done with Bob.
Cue the sound of case closed.
Yeah, case closed. I meant to say open and shut.
Open and shut case where it's like, no, it's the thing from, what's that show? Like, gling, gling.
Yeah. Law and Order or something.
Law and Order. There you go. Case closed. We're putting a bow on it.
Yes, indeed. So then I also wanted to go a little bit on Pice.
Mm-hmm.
So Salvatore Pice is another guy.
Okay, so you're just going to go through the list, huh?
Yeah, because I kind of just want to start closing some chapters. Pice is a little bit one that's harder still because I didn't go deep enough into him.
Salvatore.
So unfortunately, Salvatore is still open. Mm-hmm. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now off the bat. So, Salvatore is still open, but I can say with percentage that me and Juan, well, I don't know about Juan, but for me, I'm sure Juan will probably agree though.
Sure.
I'm leaning towards about 80% Salvatore Pice being a bunk guy.
I'm leaning towards him not knowing what he's talking about, which I guess, yeah.
Probably we've looked at his paper on compact fusion device on his,
his officially published paper on IEEE, I think.
Exactly, on IEEE. Which is an engineering journal, and it just reads like something that someone is just making up.
Well, I wouldn't say making up, but it reads like a paper that I wrote in my undergrad.
Yeah, it reads like an undergraduate who knows about physics and knows enough physics could write a paper, but it's not like any other paper I've really read. The equations are very rudimentary and basic. It's like he had equations on there for a deuterium-tritium reaction that's just like... No nuclear physicist would ever put that into a paper because it's so basic. He had some other equations in there that were really basic. Of course, these are all like, this isn't really compelling proof, so I'm just going to tell you what we've found. Take it as you will. But just being, you know, people who have experience with actually reading high-level publications and things that make sense. He doesn't have anything that really tells you how to build the device. And I guess he was transparent in his paper saying that this is kind of a concept. And he did mention that there could be some problems with the device. But it's so just a massive reach no real compelling evidence to it being possible. There's no point in even really writing that paper, in my opinion.
Yeah. Or shaking up the ground and being like, yeah, I got this idea that could lead to this particular thing. And
it feels like something I could come up with. So I'm like, oh, I want to make a device that can allow people to levitate.
Yeah.
And then I just use my basic physics knowledge to kind of make a story of what it could be.
Yeah.
That's how it kind of feels. That's how his paper feels to me.
Yeah. And the biggest thing that most scientists like kind of snuff their nose at is when a paper cites
themselves.
When you cite yourself as a source.
Yes, and Salvatore Pice cites himself as a source several times in the paper, using things that don't even exist. Once again, so he's building knowledge on top of knowledge that doesn't even exist, which is a clear no-no in physics. You got nothing if you're just stacking on knowledge on, you know, these hollow points of knowledge that don't have any kind of backing.
And the reason why that is because your stuff hasn't been peer reviewed, meaning that you're the group of scientists, your own fellow academics, they haven't been able to piece through it and criticize your work and really give you constructive feedback on it or anything.
Yeah. Right. A true scientist, when you really start to get clout or when you really start to get your stuff recognized is when it can stand on its own two legs, right? Like anyone can independently verify through alternate means as well to get to the same thing that you claim.
Yeah.
And that's when you have a true scientifically valid something or another.
Mm-hmm.
Although, of course, I'll be fair to Salvatore Pais and say that his thing is not something that is testable. It's a theoretical concept, but even theoretical concepts should be based around theory that's in existence. His doesn't even attach to any theories that exist because it's so far away from any of the theories that exist. He can't string it back to anything that's actually real.
Yeah, it's
even in theory land.
Yeah, it seems very loosely based on some idea that he has. He can't really formulate in the math or the well-known theory.
Yeah. It seems like a paper that would be like in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's no physical theories that a physicist can draw back to and say, "Oh, that makes sense." You know, "Oh, I see how he got to there."
Yeah.
It just doesn't have any of that groundwork. So for me, Pais is really leaning towards heavily the bunk side. Every paper and patent that I've read of his there's a disconnect between actual theory or any kind of there's no clear walk up to why he comes to those conclusions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no disrespect, Dr. Pai, but you need to write better papers or like, you know, and here's the thing, here's the other thing too. He's the only author on them.
Yeah, which is another bad sign.
Yeah.
But he's a theorist, so you can kind of, I can also give him that. I can concede him that. Yeah. There are theorists that can write things on their own.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
But they're usually well more, like, how long was the paper? 4 or 5 pages?
Yeah, I think somewhere around there.
Yeah. I think I've seen good theory papers kind of condense everything they need to condense in 2 to 3 pages.
Sure, sure.
And it's really well done, and it's... But I'm comparing him to other well-known scientists, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And the theory papers that exist usually have some kind of graphs or figures, and they show why those conclusions are met, and then they link them to current theory and why that actually can extend to that. I mean, Pai
doesn't make a compelling case at all. I think what Terrence is saying is also something that most theorists have to do, right? They have to convince that your model or whatever model, you have to build a model and then see how it fits and if it's able to describe what you say it could describe or what it could do.
Exactly. Yeah. So I guess long story short, the claims of Pais I would label as just baseless. I think that's a great way to just sum up his claims. So for me, I won't put the stamp of bunk completely on Pais, but that stamp is at least halfway down. yeah, you got the B and the U.
Yeah.
The N and the K are almost but he's in bunk territory pretty hard.
Yeah. He's going to be sorted in that bin if he doesn't come out with something.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, maybe we'll be inspired to do more stuff on Pice in the future. I could definitely see that. Mm-hmm. But currently, I'm really got my foot dipped into he's in bunk land with Bob. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. We'll hold out on him for a little bit. But just to let you guys know and to keep you caught up on where we're at.
Well, this is how I know he's officially gone to the farm when he says he did a stint in Los Alamos for a little bit.
Pice, is that? Uh-oh. Yeah. Now it's going to be Los Alamos is now associated with bunk scientists.
Yeah, yeah. I know too many good guys. I know too many good people out there. So.
Yeah, me too. We won't say that because I know several people in Los Alamos who are real researchers and physicists. Yeah,
so. For sure. So don't let those people work for you.
Yeah, don't soil the name.
Yeah.
But anyway,
so, now to the real stuff.
Yeah.
The meat and potatoes.
Let's get to you, Juan. I know you had some really interesting stuff you found.
I do, but I mainly kind of wanted to highlight something that I saw this week. There was a paper on New York Times that was written stating that the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. Did you end up reading the article they sent you? The quote was...
No, you didn't send me it, though.
Oh.
Another buddy of mine did send it to me, though. And also, Joe Rogan basically tweeted it out to the world, so I saw it several places.
Yeah. But the headline was the U.S. admitting that they have... That these things that they're seeing are not from us, from the U.S., at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't make any claims that it was extraterrestrial, but they're just unknown. Aerial phenomena.
Unknown aerial phenomena. It scared a lot of people because they were just like, oh, this basically confirms that they see UFOs and that means that there's aliens. But here's an argument that you and I get into a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If we believe it's aliens or if it's some kind of technology that's secretly kept by...
Right.
A government nation or something.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if we get into it too much. It's just that...
Because I think it's quite possible that it could be... I want to believe that it's extraterrestrial in origin, but a part of my rational self says what's more likely? That it's a government secret of sorts and it's just well kept. But then I don't know. It's kind of hard to say because then you get weird and interesting stories, in cases where it doesn't align with that.
And
you know what I'm saying? Like,
so I go by the same philosophy of what is the most likely to me as well. But I think we can't get caught up in just saying that just because likely is what we know of within what we've experienced, you have to still look at what you're seeing when you see UFO technology.
Yeah.
There's too many things that break the laws of physics that just don't make any sense.
They don't necessarily break. They just are. It doesn't match our understanding.
It doesn't match our understanding. So the thing is, that kind of stuff to me, I can't say that I would believe it's somebody. I don't really know what to even think. I'm kind of just in the realm of I don't know. I'd rather not even say it could be another government. Because even that seems far-fetched. Mm-hmm. Because when I see things like they're showing, or at least they're claiming that alien vehicles are going from 0 to 50,000 feet in under a second, that doesn't sound like any kind of vehicle that should be possible on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the ones that sit in space.
Yeah.
Without...
Like when the U.S. propulsion. Doesn't even have hypersonic missiles yet, and Russia just got the hypersonic missiles, and we looked that up. Hypersonic is classified as Mach 5, and Mach just means basically it's like 5 times the speed of sound. So the speed of sound is somewhere around 300 meters per second or something, so Mach 5 would just be 1,500 meter-ish per second, and 0 to 50,000 feet in under a second is much, much greater than Mach 5, right?
That means if you heard this sonic boom that came from it, it would have been long gone. You would have seen it way before you heard
it. Oh, yeah.
Like, way before you heard
it.
Yeah. Talking like 10, 15 seconds, maybe. Even more.
I don't know. I don't want to say numbers so I don't sound stupid, but yeah.
But
it's
that's
nothing
absurd.
Like we've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you also see claims of, you know, it being able to like, the gimbal video. It's rotating mm-hmm. in space while moving and things mm-hmm. like... We don't really have things that can do that.
Yeah.
Or just even hovering stationary.
Yeah.
You know, we can say we have helicopters that do that, but then they don't fly at the altitudes that are that the military guys and the government people that are witnessing this are seeing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess military guys only. But yeah, just the strangeness surrounding the physics.
Yeah.
It's not physics that terrestrials are familiar with.
No. Not
so
at all.
Then I'm like, I can't even say that I would believe that it's possible for another government to do this, because the United States, we're on the leading edge of technology, right? Pretty much.
Well, we'd like to think.
Yes, but we're going to be within a realm, let's say within plus or minus some finite number between mm-hmm. Russia and China, you know, and the big leaders, you know, Japan, the big leaders of tech.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be so that far away.
Maybe you don't know.
Maybe we are, but that to me would mean like, okay, there's got to be some kind of secret Manhattan-like
yeah.
project of physicists
yeah,
that are so, but they'd have to be so far in advance. I don't
yeah.
know how you could get to that far in advance, even with a Manhattan project of physicists.
Well, Wakanda is real, and this is where it's from.
Wakanda, my brothers.
Yeah, Wakanda. It's Wakandan technology. This is why, you know.
You've heard it here first, folks. Vibranium is real.
Yeah. The aliens are Africans from Wakanda, the sovereign nation.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the original people, man. You know, it's got a... No, but in all seriousness, it's... yeah, I'm a little bit cautious to say whether it's extraterrestrial in origin.
Yeah, because you automatically fall in the loony bin.
Yes.
Because also when you're making claims that you already know what it is,
yes,
too,
exactly, yeah.
That's dangerous, right?
Yeah, that is dangerous.
For me, I just rather even say, I don't even know, and I'm going to rule out even, I think, but I want to take it a step further by ruling out saying that I don't even think it's made by anyone of a government body that we're familiar with, because it just seems too far of a leap from what I understand in physics. And we're on the leading edge of physics.
Here's to lend some credence into this little thing, this little idea of that it might not be the world's top governments doing this. I just showed Terrence a video not too long ago.
Yeah.
Of nuclear bases in the Cold War, and we're talking 1977-ish,
mm-hmm.
Where U.S. military bases were reporting very interesting phenomena
mm-hmm.
where they would have sightings of certain unidentified aerial
phenomena
mm-hmm. and they would react in a way that, like, the base would react like it was being invaded, right? Or
right.
it was being, what's the word I'm looking for?
Infiltrated,
thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, there'd be sirens, alarms would be set off. There would be an awareness of something on base.
And so they would start recording what is happening. Mm-hmm. Everyone's on alert. The interesting thing is that you see a lot of this stuff happen in concurrence with nuclear activity, where the supposed infiltrators would scramble nuclear codes for the missiles and stuff.
Right, right. For the nuclear warheads. So what you're saying is, let me rephrase that. Mm-hmm. So you're saying
I'm a little slow today. I'm just drinking my Monster.
That's okay. So when you're saying that, you're saying basically that there's some kind of unidentified aerial phenomena that infiltrates military bases, and it somehow is able to access the controls to the nuclear weapons on that base somehow. Mm-hmm. And then
but not to use them.
Right.
But
scrambling them in some way. And when you say scramble, though, what do you mean by that?
I mean that there are certain... Okay, so every nuclear facility site that has warheads, I imagine has codes mm-hmm. to each of the warheads. So
right.
the idea is that the warheads...
A way that it's not just able to be shot off by anyone who gets the control.
Right,
okay,
right.
Sure.
So there's a, I imagine there's like each of them have keys, and the idea is that the keys from each of, well, not each of the warheads, a segment of those warheads were scrambled so that they couldn't be launched even if they wanted to be launched. They would need to go through a whole troubleshooting process to get those warheads back online. So the infiltrators would go to these nuclear sites and then scramble the codes so that they wouldn't be, they couldn't be immediately used or anything like that. And this happened numerous times, apparently.
This is interesting.
Yeah, and I think I just showed you this video today, and yeah, it just that seems to lend the idea that maybe it's not our people, maybe it's not our own government, because why would our own government do that?
Yeah, exactly. But even you can speculate, though, it could be the Russian government. But if it's the Russian government, I'm thinking.
But it happened to the Russians too.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the interesting part too.
Okay,
interesting. It's the height of the Cold War too, and everybody at the time said that, oh, it's just nerves. Everyone's on high alert,
panicking. So weird things are happening because people are pushing wrong shit. I get it.
Yeah, but these are official government reports, military reports that have been declassified and made public. That okay, these are sergeants and you know, high ranking officials. They're saying, yeah, we saw what we saw. We're not trying to sound crazy, but this is, we're reporting what we're seeing. And yeah, it's just fascinating stuff. I don't know what its origin is, but I can say that it is fishy that if we are to take this this information as data, it's hard to say that it's terrestrial in origin, that it's something that maybe, well, not terrestrial in origin, but it's something that governments are
controlling. That's where I'm kind of at. Like, I don't want to make the claim that it's extraterrestrial, just because that's dangerous, right? You don't want to be dishonest if you don't know,
because you really don't know.
I just don't have enough evidence to make that claim, right?
Could be Nazis living in the center of the earth.
Exactly. Like, you don't know, right? But I do want to claim that, because we, you know, you and I, Juan, we are in the world of physics on the leading edge.
Yeah.
We have familiar with being in national labs. We have familiarity with being in national labs. We are familiar with how government structures run at some level. So I do want to make the claim that from what I notice and what I've seen in my own life, I don't think that that kind of level of technology should be possible for any, even the highest levels of government to be able to do, the highest militaries in the world, the most technologically advanced. I don't see them being able to do that kind of thing. Because if you have that kind of control over, you know, if you have that kind of control, let's say if Putin had the access to a vehicle that could scramble nuclear codes and not be detected until it gets to the actual facility. I mean, you have a really large amount of control at that point. Yeah, you have a very, very high level of control.
Yeah,
and anybody who has that level of control really has a major advantage.
Yeah, there would be no reason why you would be hiding your power.
We wouldn't have to do nuclear policies with Iran to tell them that they need to, you know. Or is it?
They need to reduce the amount of nuclear warheads.
Is it Iran?
Yeah.
Okay, I just don't want to fuck up because I have really disclaimer. I really suck with politics, so I say some dumb shit with politics.
Sometimes there's constant like nations saying we'll reduce our nuclear warheads if you do, kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, of course. And like, if you have that kind of technology, you could just scramble people's nuclear codes on a daily basis or a weekly basis. You wouldn't need to do anything. You wouldn't need to do any policy making. You just scramble their codes. You just go to North Korea and scramble Kimmy's, you know, nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that level of access means you don't need to negotiate.
It's just like his nuclear weapon is like a milk carton box with like
just sits under his pillow. He's so attached to his one nuclear device.
Yeah. He thinks it's a nuclear device. It's just got like an antenna on it that his dad gave him. It's just like with rocks in it. It's like, son, I'm giving you this. This is handed down from Yeah, anyway. I don't want to get a nuclear warhead shot in our house, so it's a joke.
Yeah, don't hack us. Don't hack us, North Korea. We don't need that.
Please. But yeah, this is the... It's kind of... Yeah, having this information in mind when you start taking the breadth of information that's out there,
yeah,
that's at least officially documented by government reports, you're kind of getting this picture of like, well, it is a complicated field.
Yeah.
It's a minefield of some of it's wrong, some of it's
sure.
You know what I mean? Because you have people like Bob Lazar that come out and just say things that just aren't true.
Yeah.
And
but with compelling enough stories to where it's hard to be able to discern the dishonesty.
Yeah, it is a minefield and you have to be careful navigating it, otherwise you start looking like a fool, right?
Exactly. So yeah, that's why we tend to stay away from conspiracy in general, because when you start to get too deep in conspiracy land, then your credibility diminishes significantly, right?
Yeah. Then you start talking about polar ice caps having holes in them.
But I mean, even if you take the take as a person who's very rational, like we tend to take.
Yeah.
Conspiracy world in general just makes you automatically have this kind of tainted. it gives you a stink that you know.
It does.
It makes people want to raise their eyebrows at you in a certain way. So. Mm-hmm. But UFOs, these are one of these things where we think it's legitimate enough where we should, and also within our field, our scope enough to where we have kind of a responsibility to be able to take that on. And even guys with fringe opinions that I respect a lot, like Eric Weinstein, for example, doesn't even like to touch UFOs. Mm-hmm. But I think it also has to do with a fact of, because you do get this stink for being a conspiracy guy, you can only take so many on, right?
Yeah.
Like Eric's already got his toes dipped into like... what's the guy? Epstein.
He's got deep state already.
Yeah,
stuff,
he's already got enough of quote stuff unquote. He's holding on to. Yeah. So I get Eric and his approach to not even associate with UFO stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, man, I get it. You can only take on so much before people just label you as the crazy conspiracy guy.
But you know, as true science nerds,
we like
sci-fi. This is this is a realm of science fiction.
Sure.
And but then you get into
it's fun.
This is why we do it. This is kind of like a guilty pleasure of ours to kind of indulge, right?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to highlight some official sightings from some reported by certain military personnel or governments.
Yeah.
I collected four here.
Yeah, these are interesting. I never even heard of any of them.
Yeah,
which is insane. Oh, actually, the last one I heard of.
Yeah. The last one is the most famous one. That's the most recent that's been published, and that's the USS Theodore Roosevelt UFO incidents.
Right.
This is one of the videos that came out with the Nimitz one. The Nimitz occurrence happened in 2004.
Yes, and the Nimitz occurrence is the one that's Commander Fravor. Mm-hmm. The Joe Rogan podcast has an interview with Fravor and unfortunately Jeremy Corbell, and they talk about that whole encounter. That's the, in my opinion, that's the height of UFO stories. For me, that's the most compelling one out of everything we've looked at. Yeah.
Yeah, evidence as opposed to like, we don't know what this kind of technology is. It exists. And the military has said as much. It exists, and we don't know what it is.
Right.
They've already acknowledged that. But, yeah, it took place in... the USS Theodore Roosevelt ones occurred in 2014 and 2015 over the span of 9 months, where there were multiple UFO radar visual encounters by U.S. Navy pilots. And it's the
Go Fast video?
Yeah. Okay. It's the video where it's black and white, and you see, like, they're trying to lock onto the object.
Right. It's the FLIR footage, the Raytheon AT FLIR footage. And it's the one labeled Go Fast. It came out with ATIP. And it basically shows the UFO going on land and into water, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Basically,
it's one of the Pentagon released videos or confirmed.
Yeah, the Navy has verified that the videos were taken by Navy personnel and has stated it's not yet identified the nature of the sightings, which they classify as unexplained aerial phenomena. So that's where they are now. But there were other sightings that preceded this. There have been multiple reportings by different governments throughout the world. I only picked a couple because I know there's more of an exhaustive list out there, but these were the ones that were readily available. But there was one case as far back as 1952, so almost 70 years ago, in Haneda Air Force Base in Tokyo, Japan. There is a USAF tower operator or operators at the Air Force Base observed unusually bright bluish-white lights to their northeast and alerted the radar unit at the base, I guess, which then called for a scramble of F-94 interceptors after getting radar returns in the same general area. So the ground radar vectored the F-94 to an orbiting unknown target, which the F-94s picked up on its radar. The target then accelerated out of the F-94's radar range after 90 seconds of pursuit that was followed also on the Shiroi GCI radar. So so this incident, it highlights that at the time, 1950-something, you don't have many advanced aircraft, but they were trying to chase it down, and they immediately lost tracking of it. Like within 90 seconds, they just... It pretty much disappeared. And
which is a classic thing you hear with every most UFO sightings.
Yeah. And this is in 1952. And then you have more cases. There was the UK, I don't know, this one seems fishy to me. I don't know if it's been debunked, quote unquote. But there was an encounter in East Anglia in the UK. This is by US Air Force fighter pilot Milton Torres. Reports that he was ordered to intercept and fire on a unidentified flying object displaying very unusual flight patterns over East Anglia. Ground radar operators tracked what was believed to be an unidentified aircraft for some time before his plane was scrambled to intercept. And that incident is like, apparently it's one of the most famous in the UK, I think. It surrounds a lot of controversy, though.
Oh, really?
Naturally. Because, like, I think... If I'm remembering the correct one, there was one incident that was touted to be their Roswell, and that one is surrounded by controversy. I don't know if it's this one or the other one, but the other one had so much controversy that I was like, I don't know if I want to talk about it entirely.
I see.
I don't know if it's this one. I don't think it is, but yeah.
They have a big incident
okay. that... You have military personnel saying one thing, and then one of the sergeants said that he downplayed the reports because he didn't want to seem crazy.
I see.
And then there was another incident where they were saying, well, new information as early as 2018 stated that, well, it was actually spies that infiltrated the base or something and caused something, and I was just like, this just seems all very fishy. Retroactively, I'd rather just
too much junk.
That's the thing. You like I said, you're walking in a minefield. At some point, there are some cases that you got to just skirt around. You know, you just like, okay, that's a lost cause. The information is there's too much conflicting information.
Yeah,
those cases just throw in the bin.
Right. And of course, I think one of the other tactics we try to go is we try to go for cases that are military reported as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because then those kind of people are high level and they have to work with weird aircraft and things all the time. So
their expertise is aircraft.
Exactly. So they have a much more reliable sense of what's unusual aircraft and what is and what isn't unusual aircraft.
Yeah.
And then they have to all make reports, and there's usually multiple people that can cite the incident. Those are the most compelling ones.
Yeah, because civilians, you know, the people will probably complain, oh, well, why don't you trust, like, civilian reports and stuff?
Yeah.
But it's just because civilians are...
They're just too... There's a too wide of a spectrum with who's capable of identifying certain things. You know, even on the right day, you could think a cloud is a UFO, right?
Yeah.
So...
Or on the, you know, it's sometimes I'm out at night and I see an object that's, like, out there in the sky and it's moving. And it has a light, and it's like, oh, it's just a plane.
Right.
You know, moving. But there are some people that I know that might think, oh, look, it's a UFO or something.
Right.
It's like, no,
right.
It's just.
Or even normal government military vehicles. Like, we see some crazy jets sometimes around our area.
Yeah,
I'm just Jesus.
Yeah, we live right by an Air Force base, so.
Yes, we see some gnarly fucking jets.
Yeah, it's really cool. But, but yeah, no, but this is why you take military, at least for us, you or people in general should take military incident reports more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because then that really means that they don't know what's going on. They're just reporting it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then also I have one more, but it's, this mm-hmm. one is more famous. And this is the 1976 Tehran incident.
Mm.
And it was a very bright object, similar to a star, was seen from Shemiran. After each approach to the UFO, the electronic equipment of two F-4 intercepting aircraft of the Iranian Air Force was disabled, along with ground control equipment, in Mehrabad International Airport, an event thoroughly documented in the USDIA report. So that's probably one of the more famous incidents in modern history. I think
this is a U.S. air base in Tehran?
I think so, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I believe so, and it's compelling. Like, you saw the video I showed you, right?
Yeah. It's interesting.
Because they just didn't know what to do. And then I think a more recent base infiltrations,
mm-hmm.
There was one incident where one of the fighter jets were shot down.
They were destroyed in the chase. I feel like those are some really interesting incidents that I've never even heard of. I don't know how you even found them.
But the government, why would, think about it, Terrence, why would the government, military, like, it's almost like an embarrassing thing. Like, you
yeah,
don't
but
want
like,
to
even when I have searched, I've searched UFOs like a significant portion of my life. I've never even seen those.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess because like when you Google, here's the Google search engine, I imagine, doing its job where it automatically searches UFO and all the most popular.
Yeah,
what is
yeah.
it called? The
ones with the biggest hits and things you're talking about,
and all those are easily digestible. Like kind of popular.
Yeah. Forums. Bob Lazar is like on right in the front.
Exactly.
You know?
It's nothing like that could be credible or some way in some way, or not nothing, but I imagine.
Yeah. Like the weird ones, like Salvatore Pice, I would have never known about until there was a commenter in our video that showed it to us. So yeah, I mean, a thing to put out there to your audience, you know, if you guys have some more compelling UFO stories that you want us to investigate, by all means, you know, leave us what you want to see done in the comments and we can look into it if it's compelling or interesting enough. Mm. And maybe you even want, if you can save that resource that you have, you know, I can look into that and we can see if we even want to touch on those some more. And maybe we can actually go deeper and see for ourselves the documentation.
Yeah. I think, speaking of Stan Friedman, Dr. Friedman, rest in peace, he published a book about this
the most compelling stories
military reports of this stuff, because he also approached it in a very critical mindset.
Yeah, he's one of the best ufologist guys out there.
Ufologist.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that he's even called that.
I know,
because he's very he's a physicist, rational guy.
Yeah,
you know, just knows how to sort bad evidence.
Yeah for sure.
Bad versus good.
Bad versus good. Yeah. You're able to you think critically about your sources in some way.
Yeah. And he has the knowledge high enough level where he can sort out high level bad shit, which a lot of people who don't have that, who aren't in the field or don't have that knowledge, don't know how to sort out.
Or sniff out bullshit.
Yeah, they don't know how to sniff out high level bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like a perfect example would be Joe Rogan. Mm-hmm. Like Joe Rogan's pretty good at seeing bullshit, but he still isn't high enough level within the world of like science and technology to understand how to distinguish between bullshitters or not.
Yeah.
Or even what questions to ask, the right questions to ask. Like, he has Bob Lazar as still one of his main go-tos for UFO stuff. And like, so many people are trying to tell him that Bob is bunk, but things he latches onto are like the migraine or whatever, the things that don't matter.
Yeah.
Not the actual evidence.
Yeah. Or the Jeremy Corbells of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He still has, well, Jeremy, I think, weasels his way into there somehow. But
I'm just so disappointed.
Well, but at least Jeremy, the good thing about Jeremy is he actually put this stuff more into the consciousness again.
Yeah.
But Jeremy is a kind of guy who, he's a typical UFO guy, right?
Yeah.
goofy, doesn't have any kind of sense of rationality, really. or I don't maybe say he does, but I'm just not a fan. He's the same kind of UFO guy that I try to stay away from because he doesn't really add anything in terms of knowledge or being able to suss out bullshit. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is he's naive and kind of good enough to bring it to the forefront.
Yeah.
So
did you want to add any? I think you had some information, right, that you wanted to kind of relay.
Did I? What else?
I don't know. Did you?
I don't think I did. All I really wanted to do was try to get people caught up.
Oh, you were just going to attack Pi and
yeah, I wanted people to get caught up to where we were at in terms of our knowledge and where we were, our positions on some of the bigger UFO concept that we have been attacking, right? Because we've had interest from the audience on Salvatore Pice and then also Bob Lazar. And, of course, with this resurgence lately from the JRE podcast with George Knapp and also the news from New York Times, I just wanted to touch base with people and kind of give our positions. Like, Bob Lazar is bunk. Salvatore Pi is borderline bunk. And Commander Fravor is still the most interesting case so far. So, you know.
In recent times.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now.
A recap?
Yeah, a recap, I guess.
All right. Fair enough. So, yeah. I mean, did you have any kind of comments on like some of the stuff that I showed you?
The stuff you showed is interesting to me, but
And we'll drop. We'll drop a link on those.
Sure. So I would have to look into it, though. So what you show me is really interesting because I never even heard any of those cases. I don't know how I didn't hear them.
The videos that we saw they're very long videos. But, yeah. So
we're not going to be able to show them on the podcast.
Each 10 minutes, but one of the videos was the 1976 Tehran incident, and then other incidents with the Cold War. During that time.
We need to do more research on those. Mm-hmm. Like if we're gonna investigate those, we need to actually look into it ourselves and corroborate some of the things. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, it's been probably corroborated many times, but of course, as scientists, we're not gonna really believe anything unless we've corroborated it ourselves as well.
Yeah, the interesting thing is you see there was an incident where they were reporting how they were able to cite two infiltrators at one base, and I can't remember which video exactly it is. I think it's the Tehran one. Or no, it's the Nevada one.
Okay.
I think so.
I don't know.
Where they see those two infiltrators. They're just like kind
the
of...
Aliens, aliens on the ground.
Aliens, quote unquote. But you just see two infiltrators in a prone position, apparently surveying like the base.
Yeah.
And
the supposedly unknown one, right?
Sorry?
It was a supposedly unknown military base, correct?
To the public. So so these two infiltrators are surveying the base, and from far away, from a distance, they can be observed. They're being seen, but they sent a reconnaissance kind of team to go there and actually like...
infiltrate them.
Or just like make contact with them.
Or intercept them.
And then once they have their own like night vision thermal kind of wear tech and they're not able to detect anything like at the closer
the reconnaissance team is not
the reconnaissance team cannot see the two
the tangos
we're trying to use military jargon tangos they're trying to see the two
all my
tangos.
Knowledge comes from Rainbow Six
exactly. They're trying to see the two infiltrators and they can't. And we're talking about a squadron of them.
Yeah.
But the ones that can see them are the ones that are at a distance away.
Right.
Which is kind of intriguing that would be the case.
Yeah. There's some speculation you can do. The first thing I thought was maybe there's some kind of weird cloaking technology that the infiltrators
had. You're saying directional.
Yeah, and there's a directionality of the light. And when you're at a particular directionality, then you can see. But if not, then you can't see.
Because the reports say that the infiltrators were surprised that they were detected.
Right.
And so they started like kind of...
They started being more frantic.
Yeah.
Backing away.
Backing away.
Yeah.
And And it's interesting to think of in that manner because it also shows that these creatures show fear. These infiltrators show... No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. But they slowly backed away. And at some point when they... So they were communicating with the people that could... Our reconnaissance team that could see the infiltrators. They were telling them where to go or how to reach them. And so once they got close enough, apparently the infiltrators just blipped out of existence. So their thermal signatures disappeared.
Right.
And
but they said that there was a signature left over on the ground, the heat signature that was still there remaining.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Those are some really really compelling, interesting stories.
The military ones are very interesting.
Yeah. So we should definitely research into those more thoroughly.
Yeah. I hope they're not bunk or something, but.
Yeah. They might be, though. Like,
they might be.
That's why I don't want to say much until. Yeah. Right, you know, because, like, Bob is bunk, and yet we still see that propagated
everywhere. Yeah. Bob is not very. Like, this is. This is military information,
though. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is why I'm reporting it with some level of, like, safety.
Oh, I see.
Some level of like, okay, yeah.
Because we already feel a little bit more safe with military stuff. Yeah. You're right. Because they don't really have, I mean, you have multiple eyewitnesses on that.
Yeah.
And a bunch of different angles on things. You know, you have two teams that really literally have to report on that. So, yeah.
The other interesting case was also where there was an incident where there was a team that was sent out to investigate. I think this one was in Nevada, actually. There was a team or a squadron that was sent out to intercept what they thought to be was a vehicle at the time.
Yeah.
And it was coming. Two headlights, yeah.
Yeah.
But then it split into three. At least the ones on the base, they saw three lights coming at, converging on the position of the squadron that was supposed to be sent to intercept them. And they were waiting
kind
for this.
Kind of messing up the story a little bit because they saw the headlights. The military saw the headlights. And then only after they saw the headlights, they sent a team to go investigate.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And then that team went to go investigate and they didn't see anything.
Yeah.
But then later on, the other team that was
at the base,
looking at them at the base from far away, noticed that there were three lights now that appeared
flanking them.
To basically flank that team.
Yeah.
And then those lights were converging in on the team.
Yeah. But the guys at the intercepting them, they didn't see anything.
Yeah. They didn't see any three lights or anything.
No, and the interesting thing is that they reported a sort of time dilation.
Yeah.
Which was, like, surprising.
So the team that was investigating outside reported to only be out there for about four or five minutes or something, and then the team on the base basically said that they saw them out there for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Which is like, what is going on?
Yeah. There's some interesting things happening.
Interesting things happening if this is all to be taken seriously.
Maybe somebody spiked the cafeteria food.
Yeah, it's a collective.
Dropped acid and all.
Yeah, what if, it goes back to like the ergot kind of theory of Salem witch trials where you hear about this?
No.
So the reason why the Salem witch trials happened was because the town, they used to store their wheat in basements
where it was cold and moldy. Contaminated.
So mold, there's a kind of mold. I think it's called, I don't know. I'm thinking of a name.
Ergot sounds right because that's a League of Legends character who's like this cancerous guy.
Probably Ergot. Yeah. Anyway, it contaminates the food, but it produces this hallucinogenic properties and it can induce a sort of psychosis in people. And so the whole town was
right.
Was consuming this like moldy fungus bread.
So their minds were just all screwed
up. So everybody was like, they were all under a constant state of paranoia. And so maybe this is what happened on one of the bases.
I mean, you can't rule it out until
you can't
rule
it
out.
You can't rule it out because some of this is so out of the realm of just common sense.
Right.
That it's like, okay.
But the evidence becomes more and more convincing the more militaries report these unexplained events.
Yeah.
And also the more if they align up with each other in some weird way. Like we've seen with a lot of UFO reportings where they have these certain characteristics that seem to repeat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So with that.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much at time, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I'm in an hour and three. So anyway, question for you guys. I would say let's Yeah, comment on something that you think is interesting.
Yeah, if you guys, by all means, you know, especially the UFO people that just joined us, we got an influx of UFO subscribers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you guys have any compelling stories that you want us to investigate, bring it forth.
Yeah, don't. Please don't send us any Hollow Earth stuff.
Yeah. If you're a conspiracy guy hardcore, just this ain't the channel for
because
you.
Because I made a joke about it. Don't don't say look into it.
Yeah. We're not going to listen to you people who are saying too we're closed-minded and we're the typical scientists. That it's like, no, we're probably the most some of the most open-minded you can be as a scientist.
Yeah.
We're going to analyze it if it seems legitimate. If there's some shitty thing about it that just doesn't square away, we're not going to be interested in it. We want high-level evidence and high-level things to investigate.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're necessarily... Well, we are open-minded, but we're also critical.
Yeah, but we're pretty damn open-minded for, I'd say, at least publicly compared to a lot of other physicists and scientists,
true.
But I think it's also the position we can take because we're kind of lesser known, right?
Yeah,
we don't really have the reputation.
No, true.
So if we can build our reputation up to being the critical, weird science conspiracy guys, then that's fine. But you can't start as someone who has a rep.
Well, I don't know if this is a conspiracy. I don't know. Also, I want to debate this.
Yeah.
I don't think UAE, what is it called? UAVs, unidentified.
Area vehicles?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, stuff like that. Like I don't, or UFOs in general. I don't think that's like conspiratorial.
No, but because that implies it's under that hat, right?
True, but that implies that there's some kind of you believe in some kind of that something is orchestrated. There's some kind of
great orchestrator, is what you're saying?
Yeah, or hidden agenda or something. But I don't think it's that. I just think it's
but there's conspiracies out there that don't necessarily do that either. Because flat Earth.
Well, no, for flat.
Oh, is there an agenda?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Because they're saying, because they're saying, why are we teaching it as the Earth is round?
Think it's they think it's a conspiracy.
Okay, I get you. So there's a criteria. What about like Bigfoot, though?
Yeah, they think the government's hiding it.
Okay. Well, the government is hiding UFOs.
I don't think they're hiding it. A lot of the information is being made public.
I imagine conspiracy people have attached an agenda to UFOs, though, somehow.
That's. You know what? That's your problem.
Because the reptilian shit and all that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you know what? Stop doing that. You people need to just leave or start your own thing. Like, don't.
Well, that is their thing. We're dipping into their world, right?
Oh, okay.
But conspiracy is their world. We're only taking the things that are like fringe science and fringe. we're dipping into.
We're taking credible instances.
This is like if you have two Venn diagrams of scientific real things and then fantasy conspiracy.
Yeah.
Aliens are like in that middle region, of where both kind of meet.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. The possible sort of interesting technology.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
All right.
Okay, all right, fine.
Juan concedes.
Mostly out of laziness.
But all right, guys, stay for the outro.
Yeah.
Thanks again, guys.
Thank you for making it this long.
Yes. So, once again, guys, if you guys have any interesting UFO, alien, I don't want to say conspiracy, content that you would like me and Juan to investigate, by all means, leave it in the comments section, and we may look into it if you're not too crazy. just make sure, if you guys have some interesting stuff, just send it our way. And once again, guys, like, share, comment, subscribe. Check out the website, eigenbros.com. Check out the Twitter, eigenbros, the Instagram, eigenbros, TikTok, eigenbros2. And I think that's it. Anything else, Juan?
No, that's it.
All right, guys. See you later. Next time.